beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
Abba Father, we bless and appreciate you. We give you the praise and glory. We give you the honor and thanksgiving. We say, hallowed be your name forever. Jesus, we extol you. Sweet Holy Spirit, we magnify you. Oh, we say, blessed be your name. Thank you for another time to share fellowship in your presence. Lord, we know you are here to do us good, and we know our lives shall be transformed. Teach us from your word. Grant us understanding that we may live to your glory and praise. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah, hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have been on the fourth miracle of Jesus, and that's the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Praise God forevermore. And we've been learning quite a lot from this miracle. Getting to see some more things hidden in the miracle is such a blessing. Amen to Jesus. We understood basically from the first teaching that, you know, Jesus was moved with compassion. Amen to Jesus. He was moved with compassion. And the key to the multiplication of the bread is not just blessing and breaking and telling the people to sit down. It is first compassion. He was moved with compassion. And we understood that for every miracle to be bettered, compassion must be bettered in the heart of the God's people. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So we must be compassionate. And we went for that to understand that something gave birth to the compassion. And it was that Jesus saw the people as sheep having no shepherd. Amen to Jesus. So basically, he saw them as people that were lacking spiritual direction and guidance. Amen to Jesus. As people having no shepherd, lacking spiritual direction and guidance. Praise God forevermore. And that ignited compassion in him. We discovered in our last study that Jesus did not see an impressing crowd to impress. Rather, he saw a crowd that was in disarray, in dismay, and a crowd that needed guidance and leadership. Amen to Jesus. And we understood very well that how we see the crowd determines what we do with the crowd. Amen to Jesus. And we discover that vision bears compassion. Are we together? And we understood that our vision of the people has to be right. Amen to Jesus. And we understood also that more often than not, when we see the crowd, we are impressed and we want to just impress the crowd. But that is not the purpose of the crowd. The purpose of the crowd is for us to see the need in the crowd and meet the need. Amen to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. All right, so we're able to understand that. And that led us to the place of prayer. And I think that prayer started betting some things in my spirit and betting some things in me. Which is, you know, we're trusting God to begin to come to fruition. Amen to Jesus. All right, and we're going to be continuing today. And we're looking at why did the shepherdless crowd bear compassion in Jesus? Jesus said, the Bible said that he saw them like sheep having no shepherd. Why did this shepherdless crowd bear compassion in Jesus? Amen to Jesus. Now we know, once in a while I've seen it, You see sheep moving on the road without a shepherd. Amen. They are just going on their own. And there's no compassion better than me. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are sheep, and there's no maybe they just roll on the road, and maybe their shepherd will come for them later or whatever. And sometimes we even see some stray sheep, some stray cow, praise God forevermore. And if you are not careful, some people, when they see a stray animal, they take advantage of the animal to what? To kill the animal, praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. But our vision in life determines how we handle different situations. Why, for someone, he sees a stray animal as a victim or as a free catch? Are you getting what I'm saying? Another one sees the stray animal as an animal in need of what? Of help. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Amen. All right, so Jesus sees these people, and it's a crowd. That's a crowd to catch on. That's a crowd to impress. That's a crowd to show your weight and show how powerful you are. Amen. But he didn't go ahead showing how powerful he was. He rather was moved by compassion. Why did these stray animals, did these sheep without shepherd, bear compassion in him? Because there's always a reason for everything. Why did he bear compassion in him? Now, if you are not a shepherd, you will not understand this. Are you getting what I'm saying? I know, I remember once I came for a conference with my wife, and it was a pastor's conference, and the host of the conference, while he was preaching, I could discover that the people that were in the conference were not understanding. And I kept asking my wife, do they understand what he's saying? I could see that they were not understanding. I kept saying, do they understand what he's saying? And she was like, you are here, you understand it. But I kept on saying, do they understand what he's saying? Do they understand what he's saying? And over the years, I've come to realize that on a larger scale, until you have a heart of a shepherd, you cannot be able to think in the light of, do the people understand what is happening? Are you getting what I'm saying? Like I always say, I'm not a very intelligent person. I actually learn by simple ABC. Teach me simple and I understand. So I try to always teach in that simple manner. I don't like things being complicated. I don't like things being complex. That's why even when I teach with Hebrew and Greek, it's still very simple. Amen to Jesus. Yeah. So I like people understanding. And it's because of the heart I have that makes me walk in that way. Praise God forevermore. But if you don't have that kind of heart, you discover that you don't care whether people understand or not. Are we together? Whether people flow or not. All right. And I remember somebody once mimicked me and said, are we together? Because she noticed that every time I'm teaching, I must always say, are we together? I don't know how that mannerism came in. Praise God forevermore. But it's just a desire to see that people flow with me and understand. So the vision determines compassion. And what actually bets this vision and compassion? It's very important. Why did this shepherdless sheep bet compassion in the heart of Jesus? We're going to be looking at the reason why it betted compassion in the heart of Jesus. Amen to Jesus. There are quite a number of few reasons that we'll look at. Amen to Jesus. We're going to be looking from the shepherd's point of view. Amen. From the shepherd's point of view. Because we're dealing with sheep here. Amen. So we're looking from the shepherd point of view. Now, the first thing to note is that sheep are not intelligent animals. They are not intelligent animals. Amen to Jesus. Now, as a result, it should not surprise anyone that if they are left to themselves, sheep are very unlikely to last for long. Because they are not intelligent, if they are left to themselves, they don't last for long. In fact, they are best domesticated. Are you getting me? You don't keep them in the wild because they can't defend themselves. They are not even intelligent enough. The sheep are not as intelligent as a chameleon who can change his color to suit the environment just to do what? To camouflage and prevent predators. They are not as intelligent as a porcupine who knows that he has to release his spikes on a predator. Are we together? And so they are not as intelligent as the snake who knows that he has to hide to survive. Amen to Jesus. Sheep are not intelligent. Praise God. And so, as a result of that, if they are left on their own, they don't survive for long. And there are many reasons why they don't survive for long. Amen to Jesus. Sheep easily and quickly wander off from the flock when there is no shepherd. So when you keep sheep in the flock, when there's no shepherd, before you know, they've wandered off the flock. Are you getting what I'm saying? And it's that serious that if one person goes off, If one person goes up, others follow that one. Are we together? Or one can just go off and go wild off the flock. And once it starts going off, it keeps going off. That's why the Bible teaches us about the one sheep that was lost and the shepherd left the 99 to go and look for it. When a sheep just wanders off, it just keeps wandering off foolishly and sheepishly. Are you getting what I'm saying? Until it discovers that it has wandered off the flock and it cannot even trace the flock back. Amen to Jesus. The reason for this is that sheep are naturally wired to follow each other. Amen to Jesus. So they are bandwagon creatures, they are crowd creatures, and they are peer group creatures as it relates to humans. They go with the bandwagon. We're taught in investment not to invest with the bandwagon. That usually when you follow the bandwagon, you would always get into a ditch. All right, amen to Jesus. And then also, we also learned that when you move with the crowd, you'll be lost in the crowd. Is that not so? And then we also learned that when you move with peer pressure, you lose your identity trying to be like the peers you are following. And actually, peer pressure is blind men trying to lead another blind man. And when a blind man leads a blind man, what happens? They fall into the ditch. So basically, the sheep ideology, the sheep mentality, just reveals this ideology in humans. So when you see humans walking with the bandwagon approach, everybody's doing it, so I'm doing it, is a sheep mentality. They are behaving sheepishly. When you see people moving with the crowd, like somebody said, when there is danger, wherever you see the crowd is moving to, know that the danger is coming from the opposite direction. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then know how to navigate yourself. Praise God forevermore. When you see the crowd ideology, the crowd, in fact, most of the time, if you're even running with the crowd, you may run into trouble. I remember when there was a particular case in the cantonment where there was an explosion in my country some years ago, and people were just running. They were running and running and running, and they all ran into a lagoon, and people perished in a lagoon. The crowd move. So that ideology, the moving with the crowd, is a sheepish mentality. And then peer pressure is also what? A sheepish mentality. Peer pressure is meant to be for adolescents and basically young adults. But it's amazing to see that today, even old people still suffer peer pressure. Are we together? Yes. Amen. Praise God. Now, so if you study the movements of the sheep, you discover this fact that they move with the bandwagon. Once one is derailing, the other start derailing. Are we together? They usually follow winding paths. Winding paths. That's the reason why it's also advisable that they have a shepherd, because sheep follow winding paths. And when they are following their winding path, what happens is that they may begin to graze in that winding path, and they will overgraze and overgraze and step on the grass until they've eaten it up and use their feet to destroy the remaining that is left. And when they cannot get any more grass to graze on, they die. Amen to Jesus. Now they do this so they can be able to see ahead of and behind of them. That's why they go in winding successions. So they can see ahead of themselves or behind themselves. But actually, it's a good reason for doing it, but it also has a detrimental effect on them. Amen to Jesus. It is an inbuilt and hotwired instinct in their brains that cannot be changed, so they cannot what but do it. What is the effect of this way of thinking on the sheep when they do not have a shepherd over them? On more than one occasion, the likely scenario is that the flock of sheep can follow each other and fall off a cliff. Are we together? They can fall off a cliff. I heard a story of how, I think it was in the US, where a flock of sheep, they followed each other in this winding pattern, and they fell off the cliff, and they kept falling off the cliff. 400 sheep died by falling off. And the bodies of the 400 sheep acted as cushion for the remaining over 1,000 sheep that fell on them. So they just follow it. Are you getting what I'm saying? They just follow it. So if they don't have a shepherd, they follow it. They just follow it and die. They follow it and get ruined. So when we talk about the shepherd, it's a very important thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because sheep are not wired to think if the man in front is thinking. They are wired to follow, whether he's thinking or not. Are you getting what I'm saying? Years ago, the Lord told me, sheep do not understand. They simply follow. Sheep do not analyze. They simply follow. So the word was telling me, follow me. And following the Lord, I will not tell you it has been an exciting journey all through, because there are times I'm not happy. I don't like what I'm going to, what I'm following. I don't like how I'm going, but I just have to follow, because sheep do not try to analyze. They don't try to understand. They just what? Follow. They even follow to their own doom. They follow to their own destruction. Are you get what I'm saying? And that's why it's very important for them to have what? For them to have what? A shepherd. So they simply follow each other around cluelessly with no thought of danger in mind. As a result, if the shepherd at the front of the flock tumbles down a cliff, most likely the rest will what? If the sheep at the front of the flock tumbles down a cliff, most likely the remaining what? That is why sheep cannot lead sheep. Are you get what I'm saying? Sheep cannot lead sheep. Sheep cannot lead sheep. It only takes a shepherd to lead the sheep. Are you get what I'm saying? Amen to Jesus. Now, so Jesus, who is the good shepherd that leads and guides the sheep, swung into action immediately to do the needful when he saw the crowd. He saw them moving. He said, this one, they will enter cliff. Cliff is calling them. And they will all fall down this cliff. And that, you know, the funny thing is that the sheep, when they are moving in the flock, they just subconsciously appoint a leader that does not know what he's doing. A foolish leader like them. And so they follow the fool. And that's what peer pressure is all about. That's what bandwagon movement is all about. That's what crowd movement is all about. Follow the fool in front of you. The first fool is the fool we follow. And that's what sheep do. And that's what some of the times, that's what human beings do also. The first fool, the fool in front is the fool to follow. The idiot in front is the idiot to follow. And then we all go down the cliff. When Jesus saw this, he swung it. The tiredness left him. Why? It is the heart of a shepherd. The good shepherd. John chapter 10 verse 11. Jesus speaking, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. So once a good shepherd sees sheep, whether he's tired though, he's not tired though, whatever the situation may be, once good shepherd sees sheep, all he thinks of is saving the sheep. He doesn't think of himself. Why? Because actually the good shepherd lives for the sheep. Now when the Bible says the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, what actually happened is that in those days, in then Israel, what happened is that they have, and Jesus talked about, he says, I'm the good shepherd. And he also says he's the door into the sheepfold. Are we together? What actually happened then is that the shepherd, when they lead their sheep to where they are supposed to sleep at night, they built something like, you know, a wooden pen around. And then the shepherd, there's an opening for the sheep to pass in, but there's no door there. Because for the sheep, they are not able to open door and every of that. So there's no door, but it's just an opening. So what happens is that the shepherd becomes the door at night. When Jesus says, I'm the door to the sheepfold, he said, the shepherd becomes the door. He sits at the door. He becomes the door. Enclosing the sheep and protecting the sheep and securing the sheep from predators. So what happens is that if there is a predator sign, usually the shepherds go in groups. And they have one who stands at the bulwark, one who watches, one who now stands at the door also. So there's a predator coming, you know, there's a signal given, and what happens? They begin to fight the predator. When they fight the predator with everything they can, and they cannot prevail over the predator, the shepherd actually gives his life for the sheep. So he allows the predator to do what? To feed on him. So when Jesus says the good shepherd, he says the good shepherd gives his life for sheep, that's what actually used to happen there. And that's what he actually did on the cross for us. Amen. So when he saw this sheep without shepherd, he saw cliff that was calling them. Are you getting what I'm saying? He saw cliff calling them. What happened? He forgot his tiredness. And he swung into action. That is the heart of a shepherd. Amen to Jesus. Amen. Psalm 23 verse 2 to 3. He maketh me lie down. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. Is that not so? I shall not want. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me. What a shepherd does, he gives leadership. He leads. He leadeth me what? beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me again in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. These two verses speak about the leadership power and the leadership work of the shepherd. So when Jesus saw them as sheep with that shepherd, he did not see some animals to slaughter. He did not see meat. He saw work. I get what I'm saying? Whereas other people might have seen the sheep, the flock, and seen what? Meat. But the way a shepherd looks is different from the way a what? A hireling looks. Or another person looks. And that person will look at, see the flock as meat. Why the shepherd will see it as what? Work. And something worth dying for. Praise God forevermore. So this was the first reason. Now you get what I'm saying? Why compassion was birthed in him. Jesus knew that if he doesn't swing into action, these ones will fall down the cliff, they'll die. Are you getting what I'm saying? And this is basically speaking about what? Eternal death. Are you getting what I'm saying? The good shepherd laid down his life to prevent eternal death, knowing that we all go to hell if he doesn't lay down his life. So Jesus began a walk to show his final walk. Are you getting what I'm saying? By this miracle. This miracle was just a pointer to what his final work was, which was what? The good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. But before the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, he leads the sheep. I get what I'm saying? So that's what this miracle was all about. It was pointing us to the good shepherd leading us. Amen. Number two, the second reason is that it may become difficult for sheep to find right pasture and water, which they require for survival. If there is no shepherd to lead them, it becomes difficult for them to do what? Find right pasture and water. And without that, they cannot survive. Amen to Jesus. When this is the case, the ewes may become weak and unable to provide milk for their offspring. This results in the death of offspring. Amen to Jesus. Jesus, who is the good shepherd, knew that he has to what? Lead and guide the sheep. So what did he do? He swung into action. Because without the shepherd, they will lack water. They will lack food. So Jesus, the good shepherd, did what? He swung into action to immediately do what? Do the needful. And to prevent death of the sheep. We discovered that the Bible says he began to teach them. What they needed was food. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he began to give them spiritual food. Even after spiritual food, he gave them what? Physical food to prevent death. The good shepherd saw the sheep moving to the point of death. And what did he do? He swung into action to do what? To prevent death. Psalm 23 verse 2 to 3. We have read it. We just read it now. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So first we see the next thing is to prevent death. Are you getting what I'm saying? Due to hunger and thirst. The first one was to prevent death due to what? Bandwagon movement. Following each other and getting to destruction. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now to prevent death due to what? Due to hunger and thirst. Praise God forevermore. And then the third reason is this. When sheep do not have a shepherd, they get attacked by predators. We can see that this is all about death. 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 Is that not so? They get attacked by predators. Sheep cannot defend themselves. They can't defend themselves. Are you getting what I'm saying? They can't defend themselves. The absence of a shepherd to lead and guide them from predators makes them get easily picked off by predators. So, every good shepherd knows the route to take the sheep that is free from what? Predators. Even yes, we know that there are predator attacks on them from time to time. But the shepherd knows the areas where the predators are prevalent. So he knows how to avoid such areas. Praise God forevermore. God leading the children of Israel to the wilderness, he told them to not follow through the lands of the Amalekites. He gave them a longer journey. They were not happy. But he knew why. Because we were not yet ready for war. Those guys would have predated on them. Killed them and like chickens. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he took them through as the shepherd through a longer route, but a route that will be what? Safer for them. So every sheep needs a shepherd that would know the areas where predators are. And they will be able, to lead them through areas where there are no predators. To prevent death by what? Predators. When faced with a hungry predator, their large number cannot save them from it without a shepherd. Are you getting what I'm saying? In fact, when the cougars attack sheep, the attack is always very, very devastating. Because the cougars do not, it's even better when a lion attacks. Well, when a lion attacks, it clamps down on the animal in it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Kills it and takes it to go and eat. Are you getting me? But when a cougar attacks, it just kills anyhow. Are you getting me? It will just tear the bowels of the animals, bite their necks, kill, just massacre them for no reason, and it walks away. Are you getting what I'm saying? It doesn't really attack because it wants to eat one full sheep. Praise God. It attacks because it wants to cause damage. So when a cougar attacks a flock, the flocks are always seriously anxious and afraid. Because if it's that the lion attack and he took one, the remaining are safe. But this cougar just comes and he just kills anyhow. Just kills, tears his stomach open, bites the neck off, bites the head off, brings a lot of ugly sights to behold. And so they are always a sign of the devourer. They are wasteful in their destruction. Are we together? And when, no matter how much a sheep is, when a desperate predator shows up, their number cannot what? Withstand a predator. Only the shepherd can do what? Can do that. Amen to Jesus. Only the shepherd can save them. So Jesus, who is the good shepherd that leads and guides the sheep, swung into action immediately to do the needful. In other words, to do what? To prevent them from the death of what? The predator, when he saw them. Who is the predator? The Bible says in the same John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The predator is a thief. Steal, they kill, they destroy the flock. Destroy the flock. Destroy the flock. Destroy the flock. If you study that book very well, John chapter 10 from verse 1, you discover that, you know, the predator basically, the thief we're talking about there, is not basically the devil. You get what I'm saying? It's people that are not shepherds that come to destroy the flock. Are you get what I'm saying? I come to destroy the flock. Praise God forevermore. Amen. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they do what? Comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. Amen to Jesus. Why would I not be afraid when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? The valley of the shadow of death is a valley where predators are hanging around, waiting to prey on us, waiting to prey on the sheep, whether they are lions or they are wolves or they are hyenas or they are, at least lion, wolves, hyenas, they take one, they go. But cougars, dangerous, they just cause a mess everywhere. Whatever the kind of predators are, it only takes the presence of the shepherd to do what? To prevent the predators from causing death to the world, to the sheep. When Jesus saw this sheep with that shepherd, he saw sheep that were walking into the dens of predators. Are we together? Into the dens of predators, and made him spring up and act. That is how a shepherd sees the sheep. Are we together? That's how he sees the sheep. And you see, when a shepherd sees the sheep, he calculates compassion. Amen. And that compassion makes him lose every sense of tiredness, weakness, and whatever you may call it. Amen to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. And now the next, the fourth thing that, you know, spoiled up this compassion is this. If sheep have no shepherd, there will be no one to care for them. There will be no one to do what? to care for them. Now, three of the reasons have been death-oriented. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, we can see that the major reason why Jesus poured up into to attend to these people, the 5,000, was because he wanted to prevent death. Is that not so?
Yes.
Praise God. Now is that there will be no one to care for them. This will make them what? This will make their wool what? Overgrow. When the sheep are not cared for, their wool overgrows. Are we together? Now I was watching, you know, kind of like watching how some, you know, shepherd take care of their sheep. And you see when the sheep, their wool is overgrown, the wool will be heavy. You see the wool. I saw one, the sheep got missing for a while. Are you get what I'm saying? And when they were able to find it, see the wool overload. Overload. The wool was overloaded. So when they even shave the wool, it's not just because they want to get wool, are we together, to make clothes, but because of the safety of the sheep. And we'll see that. Amen to Jesus. When the wool gets overgrown, the wool becomes heavy. Now it becomes overweight for the sheep. Are you getting me? So for the sheep to move, it becomes a problem. It's no longer smart. Are you getting me? It's no longer swift. You see, when in Africa, we don't really see sheep that have overgrown wool. Amen to Jesus. But when you go to the Western world, you see their sheep and discover you see the ones that you can see overgrown wool. The beauty of sheep is when they jump and jump and jump. But when they can no longer jump and jump and jump, their excitement in life is gradually going away. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. And so the wool becomes heavy. Next, it becomes dirty. Number one, the weight is enough problem for it. Are we together? And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Matthew 11, verse 23. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The word laden there means to carry weight. Are you getting what I'm saying? And when sheep, their wool is overgrown, they carry weights. They carry weights. Weight that nature has given to them. Weight that they cannot avoid. Now, they are avoidable weights and they are unavoidable weights. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not their fault that their wool grows. It's only natural for their wool to grow. Now, when you get to weights that can be avoided, it's beautiful. Are you getting me? You avoid them. But when you see weights that cannot be avoided, you need a shepherd. Because only him can save you in that situation. They become dirty. They become matted. Praise God forevermore. So, number one, heavy. Number two, dirty. And then when they are matted, they are twisted. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, it's more clumsy. Even if you want to comb it, you can't comb it. It's twisted. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then, they are infected with parasites. So, this leads to what? Danger for the sheep. Are we together? Now, so this becomes a weight that the sheep labors to carry, in addition to the fact that it's infects them with diseases and internal worm, which may reduce their survival rate. You see that? So, a natural thing that is meant to be a blessing to them, because remember the wool help them, shield them from cold. A natural thing that is supposed to be a blessing to them now becomes a burden to them. And not only a burden to them, it becomes a risk to their life. This makes us understand how the good things of life can end up becoming burdens and risks to our life. Only the shepherd can prevent the good things of life from becoming what? Burdens and risks to our life. Apostle Paul says, "All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient." Why? It is good, but it's not expedient. Amen to Jesus. Amen. In addition, without a shepherd, you see, now, so they need the shepherd to shave off their wool as often as possible so as to keep them healthy, to keep them light, to keep them smart, to keep them moving without burdens. Are you getting what I'm saying? The shepherd does not do this. What happened? There's no shepherd to do this. What happens? Their blessing becomes a burden and ends up becoming a risk to them. Amen to Jesus. Also, without a shepherd, their hoofs are not cared for, which may make it hard for them to move. Are we together? Now, it's important we know that if you even look at like the horses, their hoofs actually grow. Are you getting me? Same with the sheep, their hoof grows. And when they grow to a level, to an extent, they will not allow their movement to be swift again. Horses that are used for horse riding and for racing, they always sharpen their hoofs because the hoofs grow. And if the sheep, the shepherd does not take, there's no shepherd to sharpen the hoof, to work on the hoof, are we together? The hoof becomes overgrown, it starts bending in a particular way, and it becomes clumsy for the sheep to do what? To move. And then a blessing now becomes a restriction. Are we together? So Jesus, when he saw this as a good shepherd, what did he do? He swung into action. He swung into action. Now we need to understand something, that these situations are situations that are synonymous with our everyday lives. We see when what is meant to be a natural blessing becomes a burden to people and now becomes a risk to them. Are we together? It happens on a daily basis. And except the good shepherd is with the flock, you discover that the flock begin to get restrictions in their movement and begin to die because of what is meant to be what? A blessing. How many people have the blessing of God, seemingly what is a blessing, led to their destruction? Are we together? Matthew 11 verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So the shepherd, the good shepherd, doesn't want the sheep to be burdened and heavy laden. Are we together? When Jesus saw them, he said, hey, this is a sheep that is coming unto me. And they are in labor and they are heavy laden. When the sheep is overweight, when the wool of the sheep becomes overweight, what happens? It will take extra labor for the sheep to do what? To carry itself. Because why? He has been heavily laden. When the sheep hooves grows, it takes extra labor to walk at that point in time. Are we together? Because it's what? It's heavily laden with an overgrown hoof. Jesus saw the sheep coming, and his cry has been, come unto me, and they were coming. Are you getting what I'm saying? Come unto me, and they were coming. He swung into action. See, I have been in the ministry for years, and there's nothing as exciting as seeing people who are coming hungry. Ah, oh my God. I have preached to people that are not hungry for years, and I still push myself to preach to them. Preaching for 5 hours, 6 hours to people that are not hungry, and I've still put myself to preach to them. Just give me some hungry people. Just give me some hungry people, and I will preach without restriction. One of the greatest desires a teacher and a preacher of the word of God, a minister of the gospel has, is hungry people. Give him hungry people, we pour on them. Jesus was saying, come unto me, all ye that labor. And these people, 5,000 of them were coming. Ah, what will make him sleep? He forgot the rest, he came to rest. I get what I'm saying? Jesus said, oh, you that you are hungry, you that you are thirsty, come and drink. And then he saw them coming hungry, thirsty, coming to drink. He forgot his emotional state. He forgot his physical state. And swung into action. I'm telling you the truth. If you've not been there, you will not understand. You will not understand. Look at any good shepherd that sees sheep. Or he forgets what he feels like. And he attends to the sheep. Amen to Jesus. The next reason why this sheep without shepherd sparked compassion in Jesus was that without a shepherd, it is easy for sheep to get lost. Now, we have seen four of the reasons, and four of these reasons have to do with what? Death. So we can see that Jesus sprung into action to avoid and avert death. Death. And we know that the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came to die so that we will not die. Are we together? So the major reason for Jesus attending to this sheep, ignoring what he was feeling and how he was feeling and his emotions, was because he was ensuring that he prevents death of the sheep. Death of the sheep. death. That's why he died in our place. He died in our place. He died in our place. He died for us. He died for us. He died for the sheep. He gave his life for the sheep. Why? So that the sheep will not die. Compassion is what we make a shepherd die for the sheep. And why will a shepherd die for the sheep? Because these things are what he's trying to prevent. He's trying to prevent the sheep from dying. I tell you, the whole reason why Jesus came to earth was to prevent the sheep from dying. And he showed us this from this particular verse of scripture we are reading. Prevent the sheep from dying. Prevent the sheep from dying. Prevent the sheep from dying. Prevent them. I know it's more exciting when you see the sheep coming to you. Oh, it's so much exciting when you see the sheep coming to you. When you see, many of us don't understand. I have been pursuing the sheep for how many years? Going for the sheep for how many years? I know they are dying. I am telling them don't die. And they are still going up the cliff. Going up the cliff. And it's painful to see them going up the cliff. You do everything you want to do, but you see them going up the cliff. You know? Oh, for years, I've been praying for hungry people. I never knew how God would bring the hungry people thing to me. And just in the course of the week, the Lord began to lay my spirit something to do. And I spoke to someone, and the person was like, I'm 100% in. And the person was like, I've been coming because of you. And the person spoke to another person. The person said, he's 100% in. And I was like, wow. And one of the person that I was spoken to the first time he met me, said, I want to teach. That's one thing I've been looking for to do. I want to teach. And little by little, I'm seeing the sheep come. Are we together? When the sheep come, you will not know when you forget that you have not slept. When you forget that you have not even eaten. The difference between the sheep coming and you going to meet the sheep. Yeah. I'll be going to meet the sheep. It's not an exciting experience anyway. It's very frustrating. Are we together? But when the sheep come, everything in you will release. You will release all the anointings, all the anointings. You see, I'm talking from experience. When you go to meet the sheep, and the sheep is not eager for a shepherd, you struggle to release the anointing. Are you getting me? Jesus went to Chorazin and Bethsaida. And he did so much miracles that he told them, if the miracles that were done in Chorazin and Bethsaida were to be done in Sodom and Gomorrah, forget that, in Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented. He did great miracles there that were not even recorded anywhere. Yet they didn't receive his ministry. Why? Because he went to meet the sheep that were eager to go down the cliff. Are you getting me? But when the sheep came to meet him, he understood what it means for sheep to come and meet. He attacked the walk, forgetting what he was feeling like. Amen to Jesus. So when sheep have no shepherd, they get lost. This is as a result of their flocking mentality. They flock. Bandwagon. Now, today, don't we see what's happening to the generation we have? This generation is getting lost. It's getting lost. Who will pray for this generation? Who will pray for this generation? Who will pray for our generation? If sometimes you fold your hand and you look at it and say, what is actually happening? The generation is getting lost. Why? Because the sheep mentality, we think it's animals that have it. No, we as human beings will have it more. I'm telling you, we have it more. A bandwagon ideology. When a new thing comes, everybody just runs to it. Can't you see it? Now, I've been seeing online that they are saying that social media marketing is no longer in vogue. It's not AI marketing that is in vogue. Are you getting what I'm saying? All the different ideologies, and before you know it, everybody is running to the AI marketing now. Because human beings have been wired like sheep, and we don't know. It's the bandwagon ideology. We don't know that we are like sheep. We don't know. Look at it. Let's follow the trends of life over the years. Everything that comes new, there's a bandwagon flow. There's a crowd flow there. We are all bandwagon in our mindset. We are all crowd in our mindset. We are all under peer pressure. Whether we are peer pressure at 16, or we are peer pressure at 20, or we are peer pressure at 40, or we are peer pressure at 80, we are all under peer pressure. I heard a particular elderly man who said he's tired of living. Why? Because all his mates have died. Peer pressure. Even at all, the peer pressure was worrying him. Say, he's tired of living. He wants to go. He has money. But say, he's tired. He wants to go. Why? So his mates have gone. You hear some of the elderly ones some of the time say, all my mates have gone. So before you know, peer pressure starts worrying them. And they start seeking to go. And some of the time, they don't ask, have I finished my assignment? The question is not about the question. Yeah, my mates have gone, so I want to. So we think that peer pressure is an adolescent challenge. No, it's a lifetime challenge. That's why people can still get lost at 90. I had a story of a particular man who was doing very well. He was a good Christian. He had a very good reputation and integrity in his community, in his society. He was very respected and very good. He was living a very good Christian and faithful life, and he was respected in his society. But at his old age, towards his old age, his wife passed on. That was the only friend he had and the only company he had. And as his wife passed on, life meant nothing to him again. Life meant nothing to him again. And a man who has stood for integrity and for Christ till his old age could not manage the pain of the exit of his wife. And he relapsed into alcohol. What he had never done, he had to take solace in alcohol and in cigarettes. And his whole reputation went down the drain. That would not be a portion in Jesus' name. But it just makes us understand that peer pressure does not end at adolescence. Are you getting what I'm saying? The sheep mentality does not end at adolescence. It's a lifetime thing. That is the reason why we need the shepherd for our lifetime. Because it will not end at 20. No, it will not even end at 90. So long as your life is still there. We are wired. I was talking to a clinical psychologist, and he said human beings were wired to work as a network. We're wired to interact. So it's no wonder when one link is broken from the network, there's a problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? And nobody wants to be the broken link in the network, because we're wired to socialize, to build a network. So it's a bandwagon ideology, it's a flock mentality. If we don't have the good shepherd, we'll flock into trouble. So sheep can get lost. Are we together? Because they flock. They're wired to flock from birth. Sheep are blind followers of one another. They are blind followers of one another. Are you getting what I'm saying? Blind followers of one another. Their instinct makes them flock together to keep safe. So they flock together to keep safe. That's actually why they flock together, so they can keep safe. But the reason is that they're safe. One dangerous predator comes, they are not safe again. Are you getting me? That's why the Bible says, of ourselves, we can do nothing. So no matter we flock with ourselves, without the good shepherd, we are still what? In danger. We are still not safe in ourselves and of ourselves. We are only safe when the good shepherd leads. Due to this, if the leader of the flock gets lost, what happens? The rest of the flock is lost too. Anywhere you go, they go. They get lost. Sometimes you see a flock just walking on the road aimlessly. Why? Because the leader of the flock is lost and the followers are lost. Are you get what I'm saying? So Jesus, who is a good shepherd, when he saw this happening, he saw potential lost sheep. He saw the sheep getting lost. He swung into action to prevent them from getting lost. This ignited compassion in him, and it made him forget about himself. Now, we need to understand something, that Jesus hates the sheep getting lost. Not just one sheep getting lost. The parable he told about the 99 sheep, the one sheep that was lost, and the shepherd left the 99 and went to look for the one. He doesn't even want one sheep to get lost, let alone a flock. Jesus saw a flock, 5,000 men plus women and children, getting lost. Hunger disappeared. Tiredness disappeared. Even the need to be alone to mourn his cousin disappeared. They all disappeared. That is what happens to a shepherd. That's what happens to a shepherd. Everything disappeared. Why? Because he doesn't want one sheep to get lost, let alone a flock getting lost. But every day, we see human beings thinking that we are more intelligent than sheep, but we are flocking and getting lost. You see this person that is a fool and you are following the fool. You see that this person is going nowhere and you are following the person going nowhere. I say, we don't understand why I think that is the sheep mentality. We all have it, sir. We all human beings, we all have it. Think we are more intelligent than the sheep. Yes, we are higher primates, as they say. But man, there's a mentality that this that wires them, that wires us. We flock. And that's why I say that when you are getting out of the flock, people start fighting you. Once you start getting out of the flock, people start fighting you. Because the natural wiring is to flock. And it's better, we believe that it's better we get lost in the flock than to get found out of the flock. And that's why we need the good shepherd. You know, sometimes I look at some people and I see the way they are being maltreated, being messed up, and they are still comfortable being around where they are being maltreated and messed up. I'm like, what's happening to them? I don't realize that it's a flock mentality.
Are we together? The next thing is that sheep are fearful. The sixth point, sheep are fearful, so they get easily spooked. They get scared by everything, even the smallest thing you can think of. Even a harsh sound or a stomp of the foot will scare them and they take off. Is that not so? Just when you see sheep moving in a flock, just hush, they run. They get scared. Stomp a foot on the floor. They get scared. They are very scared. Very scared. Amen. They are very scared. If they get scared or get attacked by a predator, sheep flee immediately. They don't waste time. They flee. They do not attempt to fight back. Sheep don't fight back. They don't fight back. They flee. They are defenseless. Are we together? When any or all of this happens to the flock or individual sheep, it becomes easy for them to get lost. You see that? It's easy for them to get lost. In addition, when a sheep gets separated from the flock, it becomes agitated. This makes it wander off and just goes. You see, these tendencies is what makes sheep get lost, whether in a flock or what? Or an individual sheep. And these things are what happen to us on a daily basis. Fear. There are 366 fear nots in the Bible. One extra fear not for a leap year. Why? Because the emotion that has the strongest grip on humanity is fear. Fear cuts across every human. So we think that sheep are sheep. That's why they are the way they are behaving they are. So sheep is afraid. Are we not afraid too? Are you getting what I'm saying? Fear is a major thing that can deal with anybody, no matter how big the person is. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a mental destroyer. It can just destroy a full mind. A full grown man, his mind, it just destroys the mind. The whole head, the whole brain. Amen to Jesus. And this fear, Bible says God has not given the spirit of bondage running to fear, but the spirit of boldness and love and understanding whereby we cry, our Father. This fear is what will make sheep get lost. Many people that get lost in life, you see them, they start going to do things that is fear. Many people that have gone into places they did not go into. They never knew they would go into. Many people that have done things they never knew they would do is fear. I saw something somebody said. He said, no matter how difficult things are, please don't do Yahoo. And for people to start making, because they are seeing that people are getting more scared. The fear, the anxiety is on the increase. And it's infectious. It can easily be transmitted. Remember during COVID-19? The spirit of fear so prevailed, they infused it into the atmosphere. That I heard that a particular company in the US, they said, since everybody will die, what's the use living? Both of them entered into their house and committed suicide. That's what the spirit wanted. To bring fear.
the major general of the devil. And once you get scared, you get lost. One of the things that fear does to you is that it makes you lose your balance. You cannot think well. Once you are afraid, you cannot think well. And once you have lost your mental balance, it's easy for you to get lost in anything you are doing. Jesus saw this sheep with a shepherd, and he knew that if he doesn't jump into action, this fear will make them get lost. And what did he do? He swung into action. Luke chapter 13, verse 32. Fear not, little flock. See Jesus speaking there. You see, Jesus used the analogy of a shepherd over and again and called us flock, so we understand that we actually think like this. Are you getting what I'm saying? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God. Fear not. He was telling the flock, the little flock, fear not. He was talking to the disciples. He told them, little flock, fear not. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you what? To give you the kingdom. Amen to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Why? Because he knows that when fear gets in, you become frantic, you become apprehensive, you become imbalanced, anxious, and then nothing. Before you know, you get lost. Every of these were the reason why compassion was triggered in Jesus, and that gave birth to the miracle. The final thing I want to make us understand is that sheep, there is a particular season in the year where the flies are serious, and the sheep, when the flies come on top, because the sheep, their nose are wet, are you getting what I'm saying? When the flies come upon the nose of the sheep, they lay eggs on the nose of the sheep. Are we together? And when they lay eggs, the larva, when it is incubated, the larva finds a way through the nostrils into the brain of the sheep. And when it gets to the brain of the sheep, it begins to cause a lot of discomfort in the brain of the sheep. And it could be that discomforting that you see the sheep, they begin to hit their head against the wall. And continuous hitting their head against the wall can lead to their death. Are we together? So when that period is coming, the shepherd takes oil and pours it on the head of the sheep down to the nose of the sheep. So it covers the head of the sheep to the nose of the sheep. The whole head is lubricated by oil. That oil, the smell, repels flies. That's why the psalmist says, thou anointed my head with oil. The anointing there is not just an anointing. It was a shepherd psalm. It was simply what the sheep shepherd does. It's not anointing to come and read the sick and raise the dead. And are you getting what I'm saying? That anointing was what prevents and sends away flies away from what? Sheep. And flies are symbolic for demons. The devil is called Beelzebub, which means the Lord of Flies. Lord of Flies. Remember, one of the plagues was a swarm of what? Flies. The Lord of Flies, Beelzebub. So the Lord of Flies is what? The Lord, it means what? The Lord of Demons. So flies are symbolic for demons. And so when the shepherd anoints the sheep, pours the oil on the sheep, the smell of the oil repels the fly. That's what the anointing of the Holy Ghost does. It repels demons. It repels demons. That's why you need the good shepherd. If not, the flies will come and perch on your nose and lay their nonsense eggs on your nose, and the larvae will find a way into your head, and that's how your mind will be messed up with plenty nonsense. Oh, Jesus, the good shepherd, swung into action because he didn't want flies to destroy the sheep. He didn't want demons to destroy the sheep. Look at the demon-possessed man, the madman of Gadara, that had legion in him. See how messed up his life was. Breaking the chains that were on the outside because he desired for the chain on the inside to be broken. Cutting himself with sharp objects because he desired for him to be, for the demons in him to be cut. But whereas he was not the problem. His body was not the problem. It was the spirit that was the problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus swung into action to prevent that kind of situation from being the lot of these 5,000. Are we together? It's important we know that this crowd represent, because the Bible said they were sheep without what? Shepherd. This crowd represented and represents the unsaved number of people in the world moving as sheep without shepherd. Are you getting what I'm saying? This crowd was actually a representation, a symbolic representation of the number of people that are not saved. You see, it pains my heart when I see Christians and ministers of the gospel argue over things that will not lead to the salvation of one of these 5,000. Imagine Jesus started an argument as they came and say, why did Herod kill my cousin? What did my cousin say? What did he say? Was it a lie he said? Then he not kill my cousin like that. Then Peter now come and start another argument. James come with another argument. They would have stayed there with argument and these sheep would have been dead. Today, when the Christians, I saw something online and somebody was arguing with somebody and Jesus was pulling the person back. The Christian was arguing with somebody else and Jesus was pulling the Christian back. And then the Christian, I did not send you to argue, I sent you to preach. Preach means speak it as it is. If they accept, fine. Jesus said, if they accept, oh, they accept me. They don't accept me, don't accept me. If they don't accept, you carry your leg and go. You have not been caught into a business of argument. What is most annoying is that we argue with unbelievers. They will not come to the church and argue with ourselves. The worst place to meet Christians is to meet them online. Hey! Do you know the reason? Do you know the devil is happy when we are doing all that? Because the more we argue, pastors, we argue with them. It's only a corner. I just see some kind of foolishness happening. Nonsense happening. Huh? Pastors will fight themselves online. Ministers of the gospel will fight themselves online. This generation is one of the worst that has ever been produced in ministry. This is a generation of confusion that I've never seen in ministry. Where they just wake up and they fight themselves like crazy, like crazy, like crazy. And then when they finish fighting, they say they now have their followers waiting to fight for them. Their followers are behind them. So it's my followers against your followers. How did we get here? Where we are doing this, the sheep with that shepherd are dying. They are falling down the cliff and dying. And we are fighting ourselves. This sheep with that shepherd was this sheep, these 5,000 people were symbolic for the unsaved souls that Jesus forgot himself and swung into action for them. We are so conscious of ourselves. How do I look? My reputation, my identity. Some of us say we now have the ministry to the body of Christ. So the ministry of the body of Christ is now for the body of Christ, not for souls to be saved. I don't understand. So if your ministry to the body of Christ, salvation is no longer your ministry. Please, nobody was sent to the body and not to the sinners. We are all sent. Jesus says, go into the world and what? Preach! Jesus did not even send anybody to the body. He sent all of us to the world. He didn't send us to the body. So I have a ministry to the body. No, nobody has a ministry to the body. Everybody has a ministry to the world. To the world. Say, so I sent you as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's why he sent us. We are not giving ourselves ministry to the body. It's not the assignment that God gave us. Jesus gave us ministry to the world. World. Let's forget about this, our body that we are fighting to perfect. Jesus is the one who perfects the body. It's his church. He said, we present her. Let's stop doing the work of yours and do the work Jesus gave us. 5,000, they are dying there. And we are here arguing. 5,000 are dying and we are fighting with ourselves. 5,000 are dying, we are arguing with ourselves. 5,000 are dying, we are making a mess of everything. I'm not perfect, but I'm understanding the heart of Jesus in this miracle. So this miracle was not just a miracle for provision. It was a miracle of salvation. It was not just a miracle, because more often than not, the church, we have seen this miracle as a miracle of provision, and it has been our greatest veil that has covered our eyes. Are you getting what I'm saying? We have seen this miracle as a miracle of provision, and that has been the limitation we've had to this miracle. All we think of is provision, provision. God will multiply your bread. God will multiply. But this miracle was not a miracle of provision. Are you getting what I'm saying? This was a miracle of salvation. Until we start seeing this miracle right, we will keep looking for provisions, and it will look like provision is far-fetched. It's a miracle of salvation. We've been doing the miracles of Jesus since March 2023. And every miracle we have looked at, we've seen salvation. He said, I don't know how come. We've just been seeing salvation in every miracle. He makes us understand why Jesus came. He didn't come to give them bread. He came to give them the bread of life. He said, I'm the bread of life. He didn't come to give them physical bread. He came to give them himself. It's not a miracle of provision. It's a miracle of salvation. Until we see right, we will not get it right.
Oh, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the verse of scripture that explains this whole miracle. All we, so that 5,000 men plus women and children was symbolic for all we, including you and I, before we got saved, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He laid his iniquity on all our iniquity on himself. He who knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. This miracle was a miracle of salvation. As followers of Jesus, we are saddled with the responsibility to have compassion on the people of this world who have no shepherd because they have rejected the good shepherd.
This is a miracle for people without shepherd. Christians have been holding on to this miracle as if it's for us. It's not for us, sir. This miracle is not for us. That bread that was broken there was symbolic for the body of Christ broken on the cross for the remission of our sins. The fish that was broken was symbolic for we, Jesus, what was for we that have been made fisher of men. Jesus told Peter, I'll make you what? Fisher of men. So the bread that he broke, five loaves, five symbolic for grace, was symbolic for his body. Remember on the Passover, he took his bread and he broke. He said, this is my body broken for you. That bread was symbolic for what? For the five loaves. Was symbolic for the body. Are you getting what I'm saying? And these two fishes was symbolic for we who have become what? Fishers of men. So it was the five loaves was Jesus, his body. The two fishes was us, the born again Christians who are to be fishers of men. Understand this miracle, sir. It's not a miracle of give me bread and fish. No, it's a miracle of salvation and reconciliation. Salvation was the five loaves. Reconciliation was the two fishes. We are the fishers of men to reconcile men to the Father. He is the bread of life, broken for our salvation. That's what this miracle is all about, sir. And brother, my sister, let's stop this thing about God break loaf and fishes for us. Let's start becoming the fishers of men. The two. That's why the five loaves were more than the two fishes. Because he is greater than us. He did the ultimate work. We are just doing a small work, which is reconciling. The five was more than the two. Let's stand as the fishes indeed. We are the fishers of men. When you see sinners, remember, they are sheep without shepherd. If you cannot preach, pray. If you cannot pray, you can pray. Because we cannot pray. But by all means, we must all get involved in this work of five loaves and two fishes. Wherever you are crying, Lord, their hearts for this sheep without shepherd. Give me the hearts for them, the compassion for them. You are talking to the Lord.
Now is your moment of salvation. If you are yet to make the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and personal Savior, we request that you say this prayer along with many others now. Say these words: Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, I repent of my sins, and ask that you forgive my sins. I believe that you shed your blood on the cross, died for my sins, and rose again in the third day. Today, I invite you into my life today. Wash me by your blood, make me your own, and till eternity be my Lord and personal Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name.
For your love gift of any amount to Grace Life Kami Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 033-154-551-2013. SWIFT code MBGHGHAC to give in CDs. Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. You can send to account number 033-254-551-2017. To give in Naira, you can send to Ecobank Nigeria, account number 554-102-0592. Also, for further enquiries, you can call us on +233-54-594-7132. Or, send us an email via chimdiohahunaministry@gmail.com. Today, remain ever blessed.
We believe you were blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Beloved, remain connected to Grace Life Komi Podcast. Jesus is Lord.